As you know, we are going through Matthew 5 through 7. I invite you to turn to Matthew 5. This is actually one chapter long time ago, but I still have his picture in my head. I was going to Union College. I was a brand new convert, and there was a person there. I keep thinking his name was Derek. I don't know, but he was a big guy. And he was also a recent convert. And you could usually tell converts in Union College because we were just getting ourselves acclimated to Adventists. I had been an Adventist maybe 2 months. I still had a lot of hair. I was woolly. And this guy, he picked me out in a crowd. He said, this guy is either visiting, he shouldn't be here, or he's a convert. And he came. This guy was at least 6'3", 6'4", 250 pounds, tattoos. Okay, everywhere, he was now. People didn't know what to do with him. He walked up, and a very intimidating-looking guy, neat guy. I'm sure it's Derek. I just can't. But anyway, we were lining up for classes, and we got to know each other. And I was very surprised at what Derek's problem was. He said, "You know, I'm doing fine, but there's something that I just can't seem to click." And it was in Matthew. And it was, blessed are the poor in spirit. He said, okay, I can get that. But the part that he had a hard time with is, blessed are the meek. And I could tell when he said that, I watched his body language change. This was not someone who was naturally meek. This was someone who was unnaturally intimidating. But I... But I could tell every time he said that, John, I'm trying, I am working on being meek. And his body language would change. But at the same time, I am hearing from the church, I've got friends that look like me. You know, biker, rough guy, neat guy. Don't get me wrong, this guy was converted. This guy was sanctified. This guy had accepted Christ with his whole heart. Big guy, beautiful conversion. Neat to watch him pray. Neat to watch him teach. But he said, I go around guys, they're like me. Meek is not going to cut it. If I go in meek and I try to do anything with them, I've lost them. Matter of fact, if I go in meek, they're going to beat me up. For a couple minutes, and then he straightened back up again. And that got me thinking, what do we do with this blessed are the meek? Is being poor in spirit, is being meek, peacemakers, merciful, are they prerequisites to being blessed? Does God look for meek people to bless? Does God look for poor in spirit to bless? Does God look for people like this to bless? Is it some prerequisite? It almost sounds like it. And I was reading it that way, and I kept looking at him. And I said, well, God's got to do something with you. He said, yeah, God's already knocked me down a peg. But how am I meek? And again, every time he said that, you should have seen this picture of someone taking on a personality not natural to him. And at the time, I was blessed in that I had Morris Vinden for a pastor, which is kind of cool. Yeah, my first pastor was Morris Vinden, and his series was "Be Who You Are." So this guy's really going through a dichotomy: be who I am, but be meek, be a meek version of who I am, be a poor in spirit version of who I am. The key. For me, that what makes these beatitudes, we call them, meaningful, is to remember who Jesus is speaking to. Go on up to verse 23 of Matthew 4, verse 23. If I see the crowds, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, seizures, paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the dispossessed, the people who had been pretty much separated from religious society. Those are the people that he talked to. The addicted, the dysfunctional, the tattooed, long hairs, people that they just were not showing up in synagogues. And when they did, people wondered what they were doing there. Those are the people he was talking to. Jesus went through the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease, and soon news got all over Syria what's going on. And people just came out in droves. The demon-possessed. And rather than withdraw from this crowd, which is what the religious leaders are looking for, they're looking for this rabbi to somehow not spend so much time on this crowd because he was a wise person. This guy had a lot of potential, but he kept hanging around with these people. Raw humanity. And every time Jesus spoke, they hung on every word. All of them. And it was here in this crowd that Jesus taught. Now, when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and he sat down. He could point to people that he had touched, point to people that he had healed, that he had freed. This one was blessed and healed. This one was blessed and freed. He saw faces of joy for the first time and freedom on people who had not known freedom. And he looked over this crowd and he pointed them out. And it's to these people that he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn." He had heard the mourning. He had been through that crowd. He had seen these people poor in spirit, mourning. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, they're going to be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Begins with poor in spirit. Poor in spirit literally means spiritually bankrupt. Poor in spirit means that they are not church broke. Poor in spirit means they're deprived, they're destitute, they're spiritual beggars. They don't have a trace of religion in them. And when but yet he says the kingdom of heaven is coming to you. Standing around Jesus as he speaks are people, they had no spiritual qualifications, they had no spiritual abilities. You would never call them to teach Sabbath school, you never call them to do church work. There's nothing about them that says the Holy Spirit's working with them. They have no spiritual clout, no church skills. They don't know their Bibles, or as Christ's critics would say, they don't know the law. This is what poor in spirit means. It's easy to think that it's a requirement, and maybe secondarily it is, but the first application, these are people who are spiritually destitute. They had nothing to qualify them. And notice Jesus did not say, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they are poor in spirit." Or Jesus didn't say, "What a fine thing it is to be without any kind of spiritual quality." Jesus didn't say, "This makes you qualify for the kingdom." It's human nature to hold out for something that'll qualify us for the kingdom. If we got nothing else, at least I'm poor in spirit. Do you know why the poor in spirit were blessed? I'm going to say this over and over. You know why the poor in spirit were blessed? Jesus was there. That's why they're blessed. Blessed, I'm here. You're blessed. You're poor in spirit. You've got nothing. But guess what? I'm here on the mountain. "Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted." Luke called them the weeping ones. These are people who might be deserted by their family, deserted by a spouse. "Blessed are they who mourn, rejected. Mourning, they might be torn apart. Mourning, they might just have had the death of someone who was dear to them. Maybe someone in the sunset of their careers. Maybe they lost a job, savings, company takeover, debilitated by disease, depression, They're not blessed because they're mourning. But God says, Jesus says, they will be what? Comforted. Mourning is not some sort of spiritual qualification to be blessed. Jesus is there. That's why they're blessed. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There are too many things that are grinding us down, too many things that are breaking our hearts, there are too many things that are tearing us apart. But as they see the kingdom in Jesus, and as they enter it, they learn to live in this kingdom. Maybe for the first time in a long time, they actually laughed and they giggled a little bit. Blessed are those who mourn, because I'm here. And you will be comforted. Blessed are the meek. This is what got him. Derek, 6 feet four, 250, 60 pounds. Reading that, I said, I don't think I fit. Fortunately, Jesus has a very long list. Truth of the matter is, as I got to know him, he really was a meek person. He really was a humble person, don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't his natural personality. God did something with him. The blessed are the meek, the shy ones, the intimidated, the mild ones, the unassertive. These are people who step off the sidewalk to let other people pass. If something goes wrong around them, they assume it was them. These are the people, no matter what it is, oh, I'm sorry, it's my fault, I'm sure, I did something. It's a condition. It's who they are. It's a personality. Jesus saw so many personalities on that mountain. He saw meek ones, shy ones, intimidated ones. People who don't assert their rights. They don't assert their dues. But as the kingdom wraps itself around them, the whole earth, they blessed are the meek. You may have lost everything. You may not feel like you have anything. But you know what? Because I'm here, you're going to inherit the whole earth. Not because you're meek, but because you're mine. Meekness doesn't qualify them. They're just describing a person. Maybe their meekness kept them out of the synagogue. Maybe their meekness meant that they never could really approach God. In that society, it's those who were proud, those who were educated, those who were rich, those who were doing well. They were considered the spiritual ones. If you were meek and you've been pushed around, you assume, well, it's got to be my fault. I must be messed up. I'm not going to approach God. Jesus gave them a reason, not because they were meek, because he was here, for them to say, I want to accept you and be part of your kingdom. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. People in that crowd were burning with a desire to make things right. Maybe they had done something. Maybe something that they had done, they inwardly, they needed to make it right. Maybe they had been hurt. Maybe they had been beat up. You've known people that, you know what, they just have a sense, kids especially have a sense of justice. How many times do our kids say, that's not fair? And then it's up to us to tell them, the world is not. They're burning with justice. Some people don't outgrow that, thankfully. Maybe they've been hurt. But they long to see justice. They long to see social justice. They long to see unfairness made right. They become activists. They long for change. God said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you see people that are aching for justice, you can't make it right enough for them, can you? No. Jesus remarkably said, you will be filled. These are personality types. God is describing this raw humanity and the baggage that they're taking to this mount. Not qualifications for blessedness, but he's saying, you're blessed because I'm here. You are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Righteousness, guess what? I can't say that. Righteousness. You are hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I am here and you will be filled. Blessed are the merciful. Finally, because I'm here, you will be shown mercy. Merciful people show mercy and the world takes advantage of them. We've all been there or we know people who are there. It's like you're just being too nice. they're just going to take advantage of you again. It's not right. They don't just take care of business. They try to take care of people, and too often they lose. And we know, because the world is not fair, that mercy is not the way this world works. And we just wish they would just get tough once in a while. Stop doing that. Stop giving that. Stop being there. He saw people in that crowd. Maybe the reason that they were in that crowd is they had pretty much given everything away, being merciful. Well, blessed are the merciful, because the kingdom is here. We saw the kingdom is how far away? Fingertips. Yeah, arms reach. Arms reach. The kingdom is here, and you will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart. I love this one. For they will see God. Spiritually sensitive people. People anxious. It's their personality. My son once said, we had a long discussion over the phone. He said, maybe there are some people who are genetically predisposed to be Christians. Well, he's not one of them, apparently. He wasn't at the time. But as I'm getting that call, maybe there are people who and I know he was talking about one of his siblings who he was jealous of at the time, who maybe some people just have a natural propensity. They're spiritually sensitive. They're anxious to please God. They're often hard. They're really hard on themselves. They're usually harder on themselves than God is. Blessed are the pure in heart. They're passionate about pleasing God. God said, if that's you, and that's holding you back, guess what? You're going to see God. And with a twinkle in his eye, I think he's saying, guess what? You're seeing God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Always in the middle of something. If you're a peacemaker, you know, you see two sides. You just know I'm going to be drawn in the middle. I'm going to try to get people together. Blessed are the peacemakers. Ask a cop what it's like to get in the middle of family stuff. But we need peacemakers. We need good people. Bringing people together who are in the wrong. Both sides, there's usually something wrong on both sides. But he says, you show the character of God, because God himself is kind to the ungrateful and he's kind to the wicked. Peacemakers, somehow through a family situation or a work situation, they deal with ungrateful and wicked people. Or they're attacked because they stand for what it's right. They live with integrity. They live an authentic Christian life in a lethal, self-centered world. God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. They're doing what God does. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Note the progression here. For blessed is the pure in spirit to those who are persecuted for righteousness. And the consequences are the same. The spiritually destitute, those who have no spiritual skills, no church skills, for theirs is what? The kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs also is the kingdom of heaven. It's all the same. And none of these are blessed because of who they are. Isn't that good news? None of them are blessed. Some of them are blessed in spite of who they are. They're blessed because Jesus is here. Not blessed because they're poor in spirit or mourning or meekness or their hunger, not even by their mercy, not even by their heart purity, not even by peacemaking, not even by martyrdom. As good as these things can be, they are blessed because God is on that mountain in their midst. That's the gospel of blessed are they who. That's the gospel. Man, I wish I knew that 30 years ago when that guy was in the line with me with that tattoo, with his body language changing every time he said meek. I was almost tempted to say, well, maybe we have classes in meekness. Maybe there's a Bible study in meekness. Maybe there's a discipleship program in meekness, because you're scaring me. Because I'm meek. You see, the other side of that is there are people who can be proud of being poor in spirit. A little proud because, you know, I'm meek. I'm going to inherit the earth. You see how that doesn't work either way. I'm blessed because for some miracle in God's heart, he's forgiven me. These are people from the crowd. These are the people that Jesus was speaking to. That's why the key to the Sermon on the Mount is the crowd Jesus is speaking to. These are the people the Pharisees and the religious establishment had discounted. These are people divorced from the spiritual life of Israel. I know that in the past we've tried to make poverty or misery or martyrdom, give it some sort of spiritual merit that as a result we're blessed because of. Truth is, there are people all over the place who are poor and hungry and grief-stricken. There are people all over the place who have been destitute who still remain ungodly. I know people who, because they're in poor in spirit, as a result, reject God and reject the gospel. I know meek people who have been beat up enough where they've rejected. I know people who have gone through some sort of persecution and as a result have rejected Christ, and they're bitter. Though I give all my goods to the poor, Paul points out. Though I give everything, even I give my body to be burned and I fail to love as God does, it's of no gain. So whatever the point of the Beatitudes is, whatever this is trying to teach us, it can't be that they are conditions that guarantee God's approval or God's salvation or God's blessing. Although the human heart would like to. In my very weak couple of meek moments, it's usually after I've messed up, and for a while I'm meek, I would like to think, oh, I'm in a good spiritual state right now. God must like me a little more because I'm a little meek right now. It's usually after I said I'm sorry, really sorry. Truth is, I've known people who are not meek. I know people who are not spiritually destitute. I know people who are not poor in spirit. I know people who are very capable, who love the Lord with all their heart, with all their might, and all their soul. They do justice. They love mercy. They live a spirit-filled, quality Christian life. I even know wealthy people who are incredible believers. Somehow they made it through that eye of the needle. We'll get to that someday. God's rule, God's righteousness, the kingdom of heaven is freely open to every corner of humanity. That's what Jesus is teaching us. These are people who have been written off. The kingdom of heaven is available and open to everyone simply by taking hold of Jesus. And Jesus was right there blessing them. And this message is stark. It's self-evident. Jesus taught that by simply taking those who, from a human point of view, were hopeless. Jesus simply took a group of people who, by every account in Israel at that day, were beyond the reach of God's blessing. And he said, you're blessed. Blessed, yours is the kingdom of heaven. And God's care and God's concern means no one is left out. No one. Twisted, the misshapen, the too big, the too little, the oppressed, even the oppressors, the flunked out, the dropped out, the burned out, the broken, the broken, the desperately ill, and the desperately healthy. Parents whose kids drive them crazy, and vice versa. The underemployed, the overemployed, the unemployed, the unemployable, lonely, incompetent. There's no sickness that heaven can't heal. And when Jesus saw the crowds, When Jesus looked, he saw, his eyes saw every crowd that would ever assemble together. He saw every personality type, every dysfunction, every tearing apart, every mourning, every tear was in front of him. And when he went up on that mountainside in the midst of that crowd, God gave us good news that you are blessed. That in spite of ourselves, in spite of our best selves, we're blessed. Amen. Because Jesus is in the middle of us. Gary read it today. God chose the weak things of the world to confound the wise. God chose the dysfunctional things of the world to confound the functional. God chose the despised things of the world so that no one would boast in his presence. That he is here and we are blessed. You okay with that? Okay, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again that we sit on that mountain with you when we hear those words, blessed are us because of you. Thank you for that miracle. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.